Now notice first of all the rejection here. Lay apart. That is, cast it to one side. Have nothing to do with filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. He's dealing with sin here. And he calls it filthiness because sin will defile and it will corrupt us. And he then describes it as superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity means an abundance of sin. So the first expression describes sin as positively hurtful, and the second as sin most abundant, which has the greater potential for harm in the Christian life. Now, why turn away from sin? Why reject sin? And the answer to that must be one of the chief reasons why people don't benefit from the Word of God and the message of the Gospel is because of sin in their own hearts. And if that sin is cherished and if it is maintained in the heart, it will defile them and they will become unbelieving, and it will be so strong, such superfluity of evil, that they won't be able to resist it. So they will never benefit from the Gospel. That's the rejection, but then the acceptance. For James adds, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Something to reject. The sin by which you'll never benefit from the truth. Something to accept. Well, the truth itself, the engrafted word, and that with meekness, which is able to save your souls. When he says receive it, James means that sin mustn't deter us or distract us or prevent us from receiving good from God's word. There must be also a welcoming of the truth. Receive it, a reception of it. And the receiving of it needs to be with meekness. And what is meekness? Well, it is basically humility. That grace by which we are ready and willing to learn. Meekness is the opposite to arrogance, which will pass judgment on the word of God and say, I don't believe that rubbish. And it's opposite to stubbornness, of course, which says, you'll never get me to be converted. You'll never get me to follow the gospel. No, the word of God must be received with meekness, with all humility, with all teachableness, destitute of arrogance and stubbornness, just listening to the wonderful words of life. Received as the engrafted word. The figure here is that of the gardener who takes a shoot or a cutting from a good tree and grafts it in to a needy tree, failing tree. And so the word of God mustn't simply be heard, but it must come into contact with our hearts. it must find a dwelling place in our hearts. And when it does, like a grafting, it will bring life. And it will bring the fruitfulness of holiness to our lives again. And it will prove able to save our souls, which is the main care we should have. That when we come to death, our souls will be saved from judgment, from punishment, and from all of the terrors and torments of hell itself. The gospel believed is able to save our souls. Now, that said, and it's just in a word, the introduction to the 22nd verse, James enforces what he says. Let no sin hinder you from believing. Rather, believe with all your heart the gospel message, because by it you may be saved. It is not mere repetition now, but it is enforcement. When he says to his readers, your first duty in benefiting from the word of God is hearing, and your second duty is doing. So he writes, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own souls. What's the nature of this rejection of sin and acceptance of the truth? What's the real way to benefit, as you instruct us to benefit? Well, you need to be first in the hearing and second in the doing. So there are two points in our text, really. Perhaps if time allows, I'll add a little third at the end, but it's quite a short point. First of all, the hearing. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, God does tell us time and again in his word that the most important duty we have in this life is to hear the word of God. He tells the Old Testament believers that they must listen to the word of God. In the New Testament, we are told in no uncertain term to hear him. Now, we must hear. We shall never benefit unless we hear, unless we pay attention, unless we try to follow. And we must do that because it's no small matter that we are hearing about. As the last verse has told us, it's about the salvation of our souls. How we can be saved and reach heaven. Now, if the minister is telling you about that, then you need to listen very, very carefully and very, very deliberately. Hearers you must be. Now, as to the reason why you must listen, is because there is a basic ignorance in the hearts of sinners, and they have all sorts of ideas about how it is to be saved, how it is to get to heaven. One person may tell you, well, it's all to do with morality, isn't it? Like some young man once said to me, well, I think it's like the pans of a great scale. And the more good you do in life, the more weighted is one side of the scale, which says you can make it to heaven. The young man who said this to me was my own nephew. He did not understand for one moment the salvation of God. And it's because people generally don't understand that they need to hear, not to what someone else says, but to what God says. To what God says in His Word. And someone may say, well, why should I? Well, if for no other reason, the reason why you should hear is because this is God's Word. Paul commends the Thessalonians to whom he writes because they receive the Word not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. The God who made you, the God who keeps you alive, the God before whom you will one day stand in judgment is the God who has told you what you must do for a blessed and happy eternity. And because God is God, you should hear. It is the very least you can do. So at every opportunity you need to put yourself under the truth, the gospel. You won't hear that truth on the television. You won't hear it in a nightclub. You'll hear it when a minister explains the written word of God to you. And you should take every opportunity to hear that. And then to listen well. Jesus said that in the days of King Solomon, the Queen of Sheba came from another part of the world to hear Solomon in his wisdom. And he added, a greater than Solomon is here. Which carries the implication where you should be willing to travel and journey far. Even like the Queen of Sheba, to hear the truth from somebody infinitely greater than Solomon ever was. The words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you must hear. And if I add another reason why you should hear is because what is being declared, what is being proclaimed, is something of tremendous excellence. There is a verse in the book of Proverbs, and chapter 8, where we read these words, God speaking in the person of His Son, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. What the gospel is making known is excellent things. How despite your sin you can be forgiven. How you can receive a Savior and Lord who will guarantee your happiness forever. How you can enter into the everlasting kingdom and never fear the gates of hell so as to be happy forevermore. These are excellent things. And you should be so ready and willing to hear what God has revealed concerning these things. There is one further reason why you should hear. And that is that in the gospel message, it is possible to get its blessing and to be saved in God with an everlasting salvation. But if the gospel is unheeded for some reason known to you, not considered, not followed, then at the end of life, there is only judgment remaining. The word, Jesus said, that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. When it comes to judgment, I will remind you that at a given time, in a given place, you had the way of salvation outlined to you clearly and plainly, and you chose not to respond to it in faith. And that will mean your judgment for he that believeth not shall perish. Whereas hearing so as to believe it, you shall receive everlasting life. So I would urge you to hear. You must be a hearing the word of God. But now let me follow with this statement. Hearing is not enough. Mark those words. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There are people who rest content in hearing. Some of the Jews did, which followed the Lord Jesus when he was here upon earth. Every time a crowd was gathered, every time the Lord sat down to teach the people, they were there. But alas, the majority of them never went any further than hearing, and they were lost. Christ spoke of the Jews. He said, ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me. They were always pondering the scriptures. And they were always posing questions concerning the scriptures. They were hearing all the time. But from it all, they derived no benefit. The reason was that they didn't respond as they should. They didn't take the action that they were called upon to make. And at the end of the day, they were hearers only. Paul speaks in his epistles of some. This is what he says. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What a tragedy is that? Always listening to apostolic preaching. Always reading the apostolic writings. Always. They love to do it. They love to hear. But they never came to the experimental knowledge of the truth. They never grasped it. They never believed it. They never followed it so as to be converted. Now you may say to me, why would a person want to do that? Why would a person want to be always hearing, no more? Well, it may be that they just have great curiosity. They like obscure questions. You know, the Jews used to like questions. How many angels could stand on the head of a pin? That was one of the questions the Jews asked. What point is that question? What point is its answer? None at all. It's just idle, empty curiosity. You find people today don't ask bizarre questions like that, but as irrelevant questions, they'll say, who created God? Or, where did Cain get his wife? Or how could a large fish swallow Jonah? And so on. But if you are able to convince them on all these points and answer all these questions satisfactorily, they're no better off for it. They come up with another question. They're just full of vain curiosity. And often they like to dispute things and they like to argue. So all they do is listen. And the Bible says it's not good enough. Because if all you do is listen to the preaching, then you're a classic hypocrite. Because you know what you should be doing, you've heard it enough in hearing, but you don't do it. And yet the Bible says, he that heareth these sayings and keepeth them shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It sometimes distresses me that you can talk to young people and they've got a good hang and a good understanding of what the gospel is all about. And if you say to them, well, how do you think you become a Christian? They come out with a classic answer. You've got to realize that you've sinned. You've got to come to Jesus. You've got to believe in him. Wonderful. Textbook answer. Have you done that? Oh, that's another point. But you see, this Bible says, be ye doers and not hearers only. I fear you can be a hearer so as you understand the Bible and you're able to grasp the truth and you're able to answer the ignorant and you're able to refute the objections and you're able to present a very good case about what is it that Christianity really is. The tragedy is you can hear all this and know all of this and be familiar with all this, be informed about all this, be intelligent about all this, and it is not enough. It is to be hearers only. And James says it falls short. There must be hearing, but there must, secondly, be doing. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now, when it says, be ye doers, it means there must be some response to what you hear. And your understanding must be turned into practice. Why should that be deemed necessary? Because of God's authority. God, in his word, likens the gospel to a law which goes out of Zion. The law commands all men everywhere to repent. If we do not repent, we may have heard acutely, but not responded adequately. The gospel says you must not only repent, but you must also believe. This is his commandment, 1 John 3:23, that ye believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've not believed with all your heart and put your trust in Christ and relied upon Christ to be your personal Savior, you may have heard much, because you have not done anything, you are none the better for it. See, in the New Testament it speaks of those who heard the gospel and they became obedient unto the faith. It speaks of the obedience of faith among all nations. The gospel calls us to confess our sin and to cry believingly unto Christ. If it falls short of that, it's hearing only, and it's pathetically inadequate and unavailing. I heard of an old Scotsman. Well, he wasn't too old, actually. He was a young man called Donald. And he was walking down the road from the church, and an older man who was unbelieving said to him, "Donald, is the sermon done?" And Donald's answer was, "It is all said, but it has not been done." A sermon can be over, it's all said, but something has to be done. Every man or woman has to be converted, has to turn from his unbelief to faith in Jesus Christ. "He that heareth and keepeth these sayings," Jesus said, "something must be done." And there's a danger if you've just got knowledge through hearing and no response in being converted. You're not better for it. The preacher has told you where the shelter is, Jesus Christ, and you know all about it. That Jesus Christ will be a covert for you and a refuge for you from the judgment of God, and you've heard it, and you know it. But if you don't run to the shelter in the storm, you'll be none the better for what you know, and none the better for what you've heard. You've heard about the shelter, but you have to betake yourself to it. You're no better than a man in the Sahara Desert who's run out of water. Your tongue is parched, your mouth swollen, you're dying of thirst. And a traveller tells you that over the next hill of sand there is an oasis. Really and truly, if you make it, you'll quench your thirst and live. And you listen carefully to what the traveller says, and you're altogether convinced that over the hill there is deliverance from imminent death. and you don't walk in that direction. You hear that it's over there, but there's no doing, and you fail and fall and die. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. There are those who resolutely refuse to do what is required of them by God in heaven. And so long as you refuse to do what God requires, so long are you lost and ruined. And if God says, up and seek the Lord, if God says, call upon the name of Christ, if God says, cast yourself in trust upon the Lord Jesus to be saved, and you don't do these things, then you will die. And you will perish forever. Something must be done. You must be converted. Something must be done. You must become a Christian. Something must be done. You must turn to Christ Jesus, believing. Be ye doers. Oh, you can be brought up in the Sunday school. Go through the endeavourers, juniors and seniors. The end of the line, you can be one of the most acquainted with Christian things, some of the most articulate in answering the basic questions of the faith, but you're still in your sin, and you're still under judgment, and you're still awaiting the entrance into hell itself, because you've been a hearer and not a doer. What is the response God requires of us? Not hearing. It is the response given by Paul to the jailer when he said, what shall I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Friends, as I conclude tonight, you must hear, because you've got to grasp what is involved. You must understand the way forward. You've got to hear, but at the end of the day, you've got to act. You've got to break with sin and close with Christ. You've got to have done with unbelief and be taken up with a Saviour. You must forsake sin and embrace Jesus. There is something to be done. And if you don't get this business right, that is, if you're one person who hears and hears and hears, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, hears until it comes out your ears, and you're not converted, you're a hearer and not a doer, and you're finished. Paul says, or James rather, deceiving your own selves. That's the sting at the end. I did listen. I did really. I listened to the pastor carefully, and I listened to the leader in the youth work carefully. I listened all I could. But did you do anything about it? If you didn't, then you've become the object of the greatest deception, because you thought wrongly, as it happens, that that's all you had to do. You just had to hear. When in reality, there was something further you had to do. You had to be converted. And if you're not converted, you've been duped. And you will be lost. Let us stand for prayer. Almighty God, we pray thee to help us in this hour to react to what we've heard tonight, to respond to the invitation of Jesus, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." O grant that tonight we may move, that tonight we may act, that there will be people here, young and old, who will this night clinch it and become Christians in very truth. May grace be upon us. And grant that none of us may be hearers only, but that all of us may be doers also, and so safe forever. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you.